Hey there, I'm Rachel.
And I'm Jessica, and this is All Things Sensory by Harkla. Together, we're on a mission to help children, families, therapists, and educators live happy, healthy lives.
We dive into all things sensory, special needs, occupational therapy, parenting, self-care, and so much more. In each episode, we share raw, honest, fun ideas and strategies for everyone to implement into daily life.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of All Things Sensory by Harkla. We're so happy that you are here joining us today. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Jessica. And today we are going to answer a question that we got on Instagram. But before we do that, we want to let you know that we have a free sensory diet webinar where we talk all about sensory diets and how to get started on creating your own.
Yes, highly recommend checking it out if you are interested in learning more about sensory diets and implementing the basics. It's not medical advice, but it's basically a video session with us for free.
A video session. Yeah. It's free. And it's free. And you get a discount on our full sensory diet digital course when you get to the end of the webinar.
Yes.
So go to the link in our show notes to check that out.
Yep. Okay, so the question is, when doing sensory activities, should I continue the challenging activity and push them when my child has an adverse reaction?
Right.
Does that make sense?
So you're doing an activity with your child and they don't like it. So do you continue the activity and try to push them through it to get all the way through? Or do you let them stop and, essentially give up?
Yes. So let's go through some examples so you can kind of visualize what we're saying here.
And we didn't get a specific example with the question. It was just like a very general question. So when we're giving these are examples that we've experienced with clients in the past.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we're going to start with the tactile system. You start a new tactile activity with your kiddo, let's say shaving cream. You've never done it with them before. You get out a few of their favorite toys to go in the shaving cream, and your child loses their mind. They refuse to touch. They refuse to engage. They cry. Maybe they try to elope and run away. So that is an example of a sensory activity that your child is struggling with.
And yeah, the question is, do you continue pushing them with the activity or do you just clean it up immediately? Another example is at swim lessons. So if you take your child to their first swim lesson and maybe it's somewhere like the YMCA where it's loud, it's big, it's echoey, there's a lot of people there. So your child has an adverse reaction. Maybe they become fearful and they refuse to participate. Maybe they're clinging on you, trying to hide behind you, crying, like they're just, it's too much input for them to handle.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then one last example we're going to give you is trying a new food with your toddler. So you present the food for the first time, you worked really hard, you made it super cute and pretty, and you're so excited for them to try it. But instead, they refuse. Maybe they push it away, they throw it, they say no, 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 and they begin to get upset when you try to hand it to them and show them how delicious it is.
Yeah, so these situations can be really tough as a parent because you want your child to do these activities because, of course, you listen to our podcast, so you know the benefits of these activities. But also, you don't want your child to be upset. You know, none of us want our children to be upset or cry. These situations, the child's not physically injured, you know, or in any danger, but they're just upset because they aren't processing the information or it's new and different. Nobody likes new and different. So how do you find that like happy medium, that balance? Yeah.
So that's the ultimate question here. Do you push them through these activities? Do you just throw in the towel and rescue them and say, it's fine, you don't have to eat that food, or we can do some lessons next week? Or do you find that balance? And like Jessica said, we have to find that middle ground. And in therapy terms, we call that the just right challenge.
So the first thing to keep in mind is that we don't want to force our children to do things against their will, right? That kind of teaches that they don't have authority to say yes or no to things. It teaches them that we are going to make decisions for them, whether they like it or not. And we don't really want that, right? We don't want to you know, positively pressure or coerce them into doing it, or bribe them saying, if you do this, we can go get ice cream afterwards. Or if we do this, you can watch your favorite show. Everyone else is doing it. Look, they're fine. You'll be fine too. You know, it's not that hard. Calm down. You know, we don't want to try to pressure them into doing these things that they're having an actual fearful reaction to.
Exactly. And when we do that, we take away their sense of control, their autonomy, and we disregard their feelings and emotions. And when we're thinking of this with a sensory perspective, we're trying to remember that these feelings that they're having, these adverse reactions, are valid. And your child could really be sent into that fight or flight mode with some of these tactile mediums like shaving cream, some of, you know, the new foods that they're looking at and trying, with the auditory input at the swimming pool. And so we want to make sure that we're validating their feelings, and we're telling them that we understand that it's real and it's scary and it's uncomfortable, but also that it's okay to have those feelings. There's no shame in being uncomfortable at the swimming pool. You know, maybe they're not uncomfortable at their friend's swimming pool, you know, because it's outside and it's not as loud. And so you're telling them, you like to swim at Joe's house. You know, it's the same thing, but validating them and letting them know that it's different and it's okay and their feelings are real.
And then on the other side, we don't want to rescue them from a situation when they're not in like real physical danger. Yes, they're having an adverse reaction. Maybe they are in fight or flight. So we don't want to rescue them to show them that every single time you get upset means we're not going to do this. Kids are so smart, and they will learn how to manipulate situations if they want to, in a way of like, oh, last time I got upset, I didn't have to do this, so I'm going to do it again. Now, chances are they're not consciously thinking that, but they're going to just do it because they know what reaction they're going to get. So we do want to try to avoid that rescuing them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we kind of use the term learned helplessness in this situation. And the child just learns to be helpless in these situations from adults stepping over boundaries and rescuing them from these challenging tasks. So we want to try to avoid things like, it's okay, you don't have to do it, or okay, let's be done, you don't like this. So you're telling them how they feel. We never want to tell the child how they feel. We want to get down on their level and talk about their feelings.
It could be something as like, instead of saying, you're so scared, mm-hmm. you could say something like, oh, you look like maybe this is, or like, you look like maybe you're scared. Is that mm-hmm. how you're feeling? Or maybe asking them questions instead of just saying, you are this.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So anytime that we allow our children to, quote unquote, get out of the activity, especially if it's new, we teach them that it's maybe not okay to try new things, or they don't have to try new things. And think of all of the fun things they'll miss out on in the future if this is the case. So instead, we want to teach them that it's okay to be afraid and uncomfortable, but it's also okay to do things when we are uncomfortable and afraid. Just like adults, you know, if we're going to go rock climbing for the first time and we're uncomfortable, explaining that to the child, that you were uncomfortable the first time that you rock climbed and it got better the more you practiced. And for any new activity, the more practice, the more exposure, it's going to get better and better and better.
Totally. Okay, so what does that middle ground look like? What is that just right challenge? We're going to go back to our examples that we talked about in the beginning and kind of give you some ideas of what some different things you can do in those situations are.
So the first example, if we're going back to the shaving cream, it might look like modeling. So you will start playing with the shaving cream and talking about what you're doing and make it look fun and exciting. And I'm going to be honest, most of these situations have happened with me and my little guy. Mm-hmm. And the first time we did shaving cream, you know, I'm a therapist. So it's like shaving cream. Step one, shaving cream. Woo, woo, woo. It's like the most like common therapeutic yeah. medium we use.
I'm like, OT, you think yeah. shaving cream. That's true.
I'm like, you're going to love this. It's great. We've been prepping for this for your entire life. And he freaked out. And so I had to do all of these things that I'm recommending. And I got messy. I was playing. I didn't force him to do it. And I just validated his feelings. And he wasn't crying, but he was uncomfortable. And so you know, saying things like, I see that you're upset. Let's try X, Y, and Z. Let's try washing the turtle, washing the car, and putting a bowl of warm water next to the bowl of shaving cream so they can try washing their toys instead.
It's also just really important to stay positive, you know, continue modeling, stay positive with the situation. If the situation warrants it, you can always use a visual timer. You know, you see that your child's very upset, but you don't want them to give up. So you say, okay, we're going to do this for one more minute and then we can be done. So you turn your timer on. And when that timer goes off, you end it. The next time that you do it, maybe you set the timer for 2 minutes and you increase the time each time to show them that we're going to keep doing this, but there is an end in sight. And sometimes just knowing when the activity will end can be helpful for that anxiety.
But also keep in mind that it's important to do these challenging activities consistently. If you pull out shaving cream, it goes terrible, you know, everyone's uncomfortable, and then you don't do it for another month, it's probably going to look similar as the first time. So you want to make sure that maybe once or twice a week you're getting out the shaving cream, maybe you're adding paint to it or you're adding food coloring to it and you're finger painting with it and changing the way it looks. Mm-hmm. Maybe you are using a different tactile medium like yogurt, and maybe you're putting some food coloring in the yogurt and they're painting with that instead. So it's similar to the shaving cream, but it's a little bit different. Maybe they're more used to yogurt and it's not as scary. So modifications like that can be helpful just to push through, validate their feelings, and make it a consistent activity in your house.
Quick break from today's episode. Did you know that we have a brand new course that's available?
You probably didn't, so that's why we're going to talk about it really quick. If you've been around us for a while, you know we already have 2 digital courses, one on sensory diets and one on primitive reflexes.
So this new course is called Improving Behavior and Focus in the Classroom, and we are diving into implementing sensory strategies into the classroom for teachers, educators, paraprofessionals, and therapists.
So our goal is to help foster inclusion for every child in the school setting, and this is step one, getting the knowledge into the hands of those who need it most.
So you can learn more by clicking the link in the show notes of this episode, or you can head to harkla.co and you can check it out and get started.
Okay, let's go back to the episode. So let's go to the second example for swim lessons. And I know this is a pretty common struggle for kiddos who are auditory sensitive, who are just anxious overall. And so again, validating their feelings and, you know, letting them know that I see that you're nervous right now. Is there something we can do to help you feel more calm while we're here? And this is where like a sensory diet and knowing sensory strategies comes in handy, because maybe you already know that your child really benefits from chewing gum and it helps them feel more calm, or wearing a weighted vest helps them feel more calm. So you already have those strategies in place. And your child, maybe your child knows these strategies as well, and they can say, oh yeah, I'm definitely feeling anxious. I want my weighted blanket to help me feel calm.
Perfect. Yep. Talking about the other kiddos who are in the swim lessons and asking your child how they might feel. You know, do you feel like they were nervous when they first started? How do they feel now? Instead of saying, oh, look, they're happy now, or oh, they're fine now. You know, using language such as, I'm here to help you. We can go in when you're ready. Maybe try that visual timer again and engage in the conversation with the swim instructor. Mm-hmm. You know, when the child is, when it's their turn to go and they're hugging onto your leg and they're hiding behind you, talk with the swim instructor. And instead of talking about the child and how they're feeling to the swim instructor, include your child in that conversation and, you know, saying things like, yeah, Joe is feeling a little uncomfortable, but we're going to take our time and let him go in when he's ready, instead of Joe just doesn't want to swim today.
Yeah.
So just remember to talk about how it's normal and it's okay to feel anxious, but remind them that they're safe and nothing's going to hurt them. And you, swim instructor, everyone is there to help you and they're on your team.
Perfect. Okay, last example. Third example of trying a new food and your child refuses. So make sure that you're turning it into like a play, fun activity, that it's not like, here, you have to eat this, and there's no fun engagement at all, right? Explore the food, talk about the food, talk about what color it is, break it into little pieces and play with it, make silly faces with the food items, like playing it or using it as a game during mealtime. You know, I think so many of us were taught not to play with our food, but here we are telling you, look, play with the food, make it fun, because the more fun it is, the more likely your child is going to have less anxiety and the more likely they are to engage with that food.
Yeah. And building rapport is really helpful in these situations. So if your kiddo, let's say it's a strawberry that you are offering your toddler and they are freaked out by the strawberry, maybe they don't like red, I don't know, whatever it is. One thing that has always helped us is Trip loves to give me a bite of his food. So he'll give me a bite. I'll eat the food off out of his hand and he just thinks it's the funniest thing. And then I'll do the same thing to him and I'll hand him a strawberry and he'll eat it. And we'll take turns that way. So you're building rapport. And when they see you eating these new, weird, different foods, then it's going to build that rapport. It's going to build that trust. So that way, oh, mom, dad are eating it. Here, maybe it's not so bad.
Yeah. And going along the same lines as our shaving cream example is to make sure that you are incorporating these foods more often. So if it's a strawberry and your child refuses the strawberries one day, make sure you're offering the strawberries again within the next 24 hours. Maybe they're cut differently. Maybe your child helps prep them this time, but just make sure that you're offering it on a consistent basis, because that's really the key with all of the sensory activities is consistency. If you're not consistent, it's not going to get easier.
Yep. I do think it's helpful to have the child remain at the dining table with your family, even if they aren't eating the food that the rest of the family eats. You know, trying to get them to stay at the table longer with the family is going to be really helpful.
Sometimes a visual timer will help with that as well.
Yep. So like we've said, playing with it, giving it a kiss, licking the food, just slowly getting more comfortable. Like Jessica said, just consistency is so, so key here.
I think that about covers it. You know, that just right challenge is finding that happy medium between not forcing against the child's will, but also not allowing them to give up and rescuing them. It's somewhere in the middle and figuring out what works for your child, because some of these examples that we gave might not work for your child because everyone is so different. So you know your child best. If you're a therapist listening to this, you know your clients, you know your strategies to try. So figure out what works for these kids.
And just keep in mind that as an adult, as the caregiver, the parent, the therapist, you are in control of your reactions and you can control how you react in a certain situation. I know that there are times that it's challenging when you just want to, come on, just eat that strawberry.
Oh, for sure.
But the more that you can stay calm, stay cool and collected, your child will see that and play off of your emotions. But the more you get frustrated and worked up and anxious, your child will play off of those emotions as well. So just keep that in mind, that you're in control of your emotions, but your child is learning how to control their emotions. So you want to give them the benefit of the doubt and be the bigger person as often as we can. I know that sounds weird.
Yeah. The bigger person. But also, you know, we said this a little bit, but just validating their feelings. These are great teaching opportunities to talk to your child about how they feel, how it makes their body feel, right? When you're anxious and nervous, do your hands get sweaty? Does your face get hot? What does that tell you? It tells you that you're anxious about something. Okay, what are our sensory strategies? What's our heavy work strategy? What's our oral motor strategy that we can use? And use them as teaching opportunities, because these are strategies that your child can take into other environments.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay, so let's sidestep and get to our two listener questions. We're not dedicating an entire podcast to these questions, but we do want to give a brief explanation to these ones. The first one is, how do I find a good sensory diet for my son? The golden question.
Well, first, make sure you watch our free sensory diet webinar.
Yep.
And then if you find that webinar helpful, make sure you check out our full-length digital course, because we do teach you how to create a sensory diet in that course.
Yep. We have a podcast episode on sensory diets. We will link that in the show notes for you to listen to. And if you're really noticing challenges and concerns with your child, we always recommend in-person occupational therapy services. We realize that it's not always available, but if you can find a therapist who specializes in sensory integration, they can get to know your child, you know, one-on-one in real life, and they can hopefully provide a good sensory diet for your son.
All right, our second question, this is a little bit of a longer question, but I think it's going to be good for us to talk about this one. So question is, would it be beneficial to approach my child's school about using the sensory room for more children than those who are on an IEP? There are so many children struggling who don't have a diagnosis and who would benefit greatly from sensory breaks. Is it appropriate to bring these up without stepping on anyone's toes?
Wow. Okay. This is a great question. And I love you for thinking about this.
I know. I'm like, kudos to you putting your sensory goggles on.
Yes. I think that's amazing. And it is such a fine line of, you know, not stepping on anyone's toes, not recommending something that's out of your comfort zone. But, you know, if your son is on, I don't know if you said son, if your child is on an IEP, maybe in that IEP meeting, you can bring it up and say, you know, these sensory breaks are really helpful for my child, but I've also noticed them helpful for these other children that I've done them with as well. Maybe a sibling, maybe friends, kiddos. But I think you have to tread lightly.
Yeah, it is tricky because schools are underfunded and there's not a lot of time in the day. Many schools have more children in the classroom than maybe they should. Please don't get mad at me for saying that. But, you know, it's a hard line to walk because I think that potentially the reaction you're going to get is defensive and say, you know, it's not your place or we're doing the best we can, which they definitely are. You know, I would say 99.9% of schools are doing the best they can with what they've got. And so, you know, if you have a good relationship with your child's teacher or the staff at the school, then maybe you can have kind of more of a casual conversation, maybe not during school. You know, maybe you're able to like meet them for coffee and say like, hey, I just had some ideas. But make sure that if you do something like that, you go into it with like, here are maybe some ideas that maybe you can just take and play with and see if they're helpful and, you know, just come prepared, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I will jump into this next part here and say that we do have a course that we created.
What?
I know. And it is for the entire school population, not just these kiddos who have a diagnosis or need those sensory breaks. It's a course for teachers and paraprofessionals and administrators in the school setting to learn how to set up sensory strategies to make an inclusive classroom from kindergarten to high school, preschool to high school, whatever the age is, there are strategies for everyone. And we're really excited for this course to get into the hands of teachers, professionals, administrators, everyone who just needs to, who just need to learn that a sensory friendly classroom is how every child thrives. And we need to take it back to the basics and help people realize that we're sensory beings. We all have sensory systems. And if we want these kiddos to learn and get the most out of their school day and their school activities, the best way to do that is to incorporate these sensory strategies.
So go to the link in the show notes, because everything you need for what Rachel just talked about is in there. You can find it all there. And great question.
Yeah.
Good question. If you have a question that you want us to answer on the podcast, send us a message on Instagram at All Things Sensory Podcast. What else?
Please leave us a review on iTunes. We love seeing your reviews. If you write out a fun review, those are great. If you just leave some stars, that's also really helpful. It just helps us.
Five stars.
Yes. It helps us reach more parents, therapists, educators like you listening and get this information out into the world.
And with that, we're going to say goodbye and talk to you next week.
Okay. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for listening to All Things Sensory by Harkla. If you want more information on anything we mentioned in the show, head over to harkla.co/podcast to get all of the show notes.
We always have the show notes and links, plus full transcripts to make following along as easy as possible for everyone. If you have follow-up questions, the best place to ask those is in the comments on the show notes or message us on our Instagram account, which is @harkla_family. If you just search Harkla, you'll find us.
Like we mentioned before, our podcast listeners get 10% off their first order at Harkla, whether it's for one of our digital courses, one of our sensory swings. The discount code SENSORY will save you 10%. That code is SENSORY. Head over to harkla.co/sensory to use that code right now so you don't forget.
We're so excited to work together to help create confident kids all over the world and work towards a happier, healthier life.
All right, we'll talk to you guys next week. Just a friendly reminder, this is general information related to occupational therapy, pediatrics, and sensory integration. We do not know you or your child, therefore we do not know any specific needs. Therefore, you should always refer back to your pediatrician and occupational therapist for more information.